Today we're starting a new series. We're opening up a new word. The one thing I've struggled with is the introduction to the series. And, you know, God told Linda to take a mic, and it proves this point. So I didn't need the introduction. God already had it prepared. And I wanted you to hear something. You know, I firmly believe that we are blessed. No offense to anybody else that plays an instrument. We are blessed with one of the best piano players I've ever seen. Totally scot-free. We don't pay a dime. Any of these musicians, and they're wonderful. Everyone. You know, and we're thankful for them. But I've heard her say something. It's this lady here that got me started on something that I hate. Something that I didn't like. And then a few months later, I'm playing there. I'm playing for them to travel and sing. And now she plays for us beautifully at every service. And we're blessed because of what we're talking about today. Today, we're starting a series for the next few weeks. On the power of the seed. Power of the seed. I already mentioned a verse that says, hey, the faith of the grain of a mustard seed can say to a mountain, be removed, and it's gone. Do you know what? Years ago, when Glenda was little, somebody planted a seed in her life that had a piano in it. And that seed has grown over the years, and it has blossomed over the years, and it has been tested and tried, and through hard work and labor has grown into what we see today. And today in your life, there is no doubt God has given you seeds, talents, dreams, abilities, gifts, finances, love, things that are around you that right now they're in seed form. Matter of fact, when we did our wedding yesterday, not our wedding, I was part of the wedding, it was actually their wedding, alright? But I was there, right? So it's our wedding. Anybody there? Right? We said to them, look, this is your love in infancy. Since the beginning, you've been exploring love until this point, and now you're standing here and establishing it. And you are, and let's just be honest, we call it the honeymoon phase. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That first couple months, that first year, whatever, you're madly in love, and then it grows. You know, the things that, oh, I'm so excited we're going on our honeymoon. Well, the honeymoon only happens once, right? You know, and the next thing you know, we're having our first baby. And then you realize that you don't even know what you talked about before you had that first baby. It grows, and it's over time that love grows. What happens to most marriages, why they fall apart, is they stay in an infant state. They stay in that, hey, we want to experience this joy that we have now, this happiness that we have now. We'll make it work. No, it will not. Because that joy is going to be tested. That happiness is going to fade. There's going to be dark times. And it's in those dark times, those trying times, that you have a chance to grow. You have a chance to build that love on a foundation while it's pure in its beginning. It becomes marred and it becomes scarred and it pollutes through life. In fact, I can look at you and I can say, hey, look, no offense, but you don't look the same as you did when you were a teenager. How many of you can say that's so true? How many of you look at your teenage pictures and I'm so glad my hair is different? Because many of you were teenagers in the 80s. And every time I look at pictures in the 80s, I'm like, what were they thinking? You know, what were they thinking? You know, but hey, keep it long enough, it comes back in style, right? But the truth is, man, you've grown, you've blossomed. Some areas of your life you're so confident in. And some areas of your life you're so thankful for. But there are other areas of your life that you're longing for. That you have needs in. There's areas of your life that you're looking towards and you're saying, what am I going to do and who am I going to be? I'm going to take you to one verse that's going to set the tone of this whole series. In Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7, we find these words. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest, what's it say? What you plant. In other words, in King James, you will reap what you sow. And every time I've heard that verse, somebody's beating somebody up with it. You'll reap what you sow, you'll reap what you sow. But the very next few verses, which we're not going to read today, we'll get to later. The next couple of verses say, if you sow evil, you'll reap evil. But if you sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. This verse is not meant to beat you down. This verse is meant to get you started. To show you, hey, there is power in the seed. Matter of fact, the seed is one of the most used phrases when God talks about creation and other things. He talks about, hey, they come from a seed. They came from this. From Adam and Eve came sin. All these things started somewhere. But you know what? They start small, do they not? not most seeds are very tiny. Most seeds can be held in your hand. Most seeds, you can go to the store and you can buy a bag of them. You'll get thousands of seeds in that one little tiny bag. You know, but there are some truths about sowing seeds that you need to understand. When you pull in today, we have 5.5 acres, okay? I'd say about 2.5 to 3 of those acres are gravel, alright? If you looked around, you saw those. Those gravel were sown by bulldozers, alright? They were sown by dump trucks and all these other things. We did not sow those gravels by hand. But when you look at every blade of grass that's on this property, it traces back to one day I got a phone call from Wayne, and he said, hey, listen, if you're going to sow grass, you need to do it today. I mean, it wasn't, let's do it tomorrow, let's do it. He said, you need to do it today. This is the day you need to sow it, because this is prime day. The weather's about to get nice, and it was freezing. The weather's about to get nice, it's about to get, so you need to get some people, you need to get down here now. It wasn't this, hey, if you want to. You know, it was kind of a demand. And so we were like, okay, well, I'll do it. So we got about 5 people, and we came down here. And we didn't have these little nice things that you just push, and it shoots out the seed for you. No, when we got here, all we had was bags of seed. And what they did is they gave us these little pouches, and they put in those little pouches all that seed. And we went and we took that seed by hand and threw. Every blade of grass you see was thrown by hand. And we walked for a couple hours and we just threw grass and seed. But you know what? When we threw it down, it didn't look pretty. No, we were muddy and it was nasty and I had mud up to my ankles and we were just throwing the stuff and then when you're looking around, you're just like, what in the world? You know, all you see is decay and all you see is soil that had been disrupted and soil that didn't look good. And I remember we walked and we did this for those hours and then we got done and I turned around and I looked and I was just like, I hope that works. That's literally what I said. I hope that works because I don't want to do that again. And then after we got done with the seed, we got the blessing of the straw. Anybody else have that? Thank God we did have a blower. Some had to be done by hand, but you still had to manually load that thing. And man, we were, oh, it was a day, wasn't it? It was some kind of a day. But today you drove in and none of you thought as you drove, man, I'm so glad they threw seed. I'm so glad that they threw. No, you drove in and you just saw grass. You drove in and you just saw a field. You just saw green or brown fixing to become green. You saw the places that seed had been planted and it had been nurtured and it has grown. You see, back in the day when they sowed, they didn't have the fancy equipment we had. When a farmer went out in the field, he didn't have this automatic machine that punched a hole and stuck the seed in. They had to sow, and that's where we get this in the King James where it says, you'll reap what you sow. They didn't go out and one by one dig holes and put them in the ground. No, they did just like we did in that field. They would walk out, they would grab it, and they would throw it. And they would just keep throwing it. Matter of fact, that's where broadcasting came from. They call it broadcasting. We use that in television now. What they do is they take a signal from its place, and they throw it out there. And where it lands, those that have the right equipment get the signal. The Bible talks about in Matthew that those that have the right soil get the seed. Yeah, some seed falls on rock, and some seed falls in thorns, and some seed falls on a path, but some, it actually falls on solid and fertile ground. You know, we did a whole message a couple years ago, on what kind of soil do you have to plant your seed in. But today I'm going to go beyond the soil. Let's get before that, and let's get into the what kind of seeds do you have to plant. Let me give you 9 truths, not today. Throughout the next few weeks, some of you are like, Cracker Barrel, come on. You know, no, I'm not going to do it today. But 9 truths that you can find from a seed. Number 1 is this, right? Everything that has life has started from the seed. You have started from the seed. I'm not going to go into the anatomy of that. If you have questions, ask your mom. Your dream start as a seed, as a thought. Buildings start as a seed. They're just a thought. A little tiny thought in the mind. You know, but trees and flowers and plants, but everything you have in your life started as a seed. When you fell in love, it's because you wanted to fall in love. You were looking for love. Now, how many of you are gardeners, or how many of you have flowers, roses, or you have some kind of corn or something growing in your yard? Throw it up your hand, alright? Alright, thank God for them. They're fewer and far between. It seems like every generation we get less and less. Alright, it makes you want to think, what are we going to eat later? Alright, the thing is when they plant something. No, I'm not. I call myself the Grim Reaper of farming. If I plant it, it's going to die. Alright? It's kind of like we dig our holes 6 inches so that we can just do an imaginary funeral as we plant the seed. But the thing is when you plant corn, You water it, you nurture it, you fertilize it, and you wait for what? Natural. You don't wait for pumpkins, and you don't wait for watermelon, and you're not expecting a tree. You're expecting corn. And the cool thing is you're expecting a certain kind. There's Kentucky corn, there's sweet corn, there's dry corn, there's white corn, there's yellow corn, there's all kinds of corn. Didn't even know that until I went to you. But the truth is this, like, you know that when I put in the ground, that's what I want to come up, and they watch it. They water the flowers different. They plant certain flowers in sunlight, that's going to get a lot of sunlight. And they plant some other flowers in shadows, because too much sunlight will kill it. And they look at these things, and they nurture these things, and they watch these things, and no doubt, if you're that gardener, that's what you do. But the truth is this, until there is a seed, there is nothing that can grow. Until there is a seed, there is nothing that can be produced. Until there is a hope or a dream, it doesn't happen. Hey, listen, you want to get married? You need to have a seed in your heart that says, I want to know how to love, and I want to give love, and I want to receive love, and you need to start planting that seed. Now that seed can't be planted in a bedroom, and that seed can't be planted in a setting. That seed is planted through action, and through exploration, and through looking in prayer, and through seeking God's word of who it is you're supposed to be with, and seeking that one that God has created for you. Listen, we need people to get back to romance. People to get back to that attitude of, hey, God does have somebody for me, and I'm going to be picky until I find them, and I'm going to wait for them. But isn't it kind of common sense that if you're going to find love, you better be looking for it? How many of you kind of realize it? Love doesn't just fall in your lap today. You don't turn on CNN or Fox News and feel loved. You don't get on Facebook and feel loved. You know, you got to go out there. You got to seek it. Matter of fact, the Bible says that those that have friends must first show themselves friendly. They've got to put themselves out there. We say it all the time. I quote it in here. I quote it in counseling. Awkward will not kill you, but without awkward, you will not have many opportunities. Without stepping out into the unknown, without saying, okay, I'm tired of the way my life is, then here, good news, get a ladder and get out of the rut and start walking a new path. Well, I don't like the direction my life is going. Great news, you can change your direction. But it's scary time it wasn't the seed. And we don't know when we plant that seed that it's going to grow. See, some seed when planted, it does grow, it does sprout, but not all does. You see, every idea you have is not a good idea. I'm sorry, I don't mean to bust the bubble. But everything you want to say is not good to say. Necessarily, right? If you got teenagers, you can say amen to that. Everything they want to say, sometimes it's just like, you know, you could spare yourself a lot of trouble if you would just keep your mouth. Anybody know that next word? Shut up. All right, wow. I heard teenagers and parents. Teenagers because they heard it, parents because they said it, and true teenagers, they heard it too when they were your age. The truth is you realize that, listen, I've got to be willing for something to be planted. I've got to be willing, and everything I have in my life starts as a seed. And everything I have in my life starts as a dream. It starts as a hope. This church started as a seed. It was a thought, an imagination, a desire, a longing that somebody had had their entire life, and then God said, guess what? I'm not raising somebody else to do it. I've raised you to do it. And in that moment, it was like, okay, am I going to plant the seed or am I going to wait for someone else? But guess what? If you're waiting for somebody else to plant the seed to feed your desires, then you might starve before your desires are fulfilled. If you have a desire today, you need to say, God, show me what seeds need to be planted in my life. Show me what's missing. And let me step out in faith with that seed. Let me say, God, I'm willing to sow. I love this. Check out verse number 11 of Genesis chapter number 1. God gives us this analogy. He says, then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow, what's it say? Seed-bearing fruits. And then here's what it says. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came, and that is what happened. In the very beginning of time, God instituted the seed mentality. In the very beginning of time, He said, look, okay, I'm going to make trees that produce fruits, that produce seeds, that will produce more trees, that will produce more fruit, and will produce more seed. I'm going to make plants that produce seeds, that will make more flowers that produce seeds, and make more flowers that produce seeds. You want an amazing quote? Heard it years ago. Me and my wife in devotions, it came back to me when we were reading that parable of the soil and the seed. And it's an awesome thought. Write this down if you'd like. See, anybody can count the seeds that are in an apple. But only God knows the amount of apples that are in a seed. Anybody can open up an apple and say 10. But God opens up a seed and says a forest, thousands, millions, because that seed that's in that apple that you can only give one number to could be the seed that plants in the ground that produces 2 trees, 3 trees, 4 trees, could produce another 100 apples, another 1,000 apples, and the next thing you know, those seeds produce more seeds. Isn't it amazing that when you have a seed, it can produce thousands of different things in your life from one simple seed? From one simple action of love, an entire generation can be born. From one husband and wife deciding to have a baby, a legacy can be born. Abraham was promised by God that God would make a great nation out of him. And God gave him one son. Abraham made another. Alright? So technically he had two. Abraham made a terrible mistake. And by making that mistake because of his lack of patience, which we'll get into in the study, by making that mistake, he raised what we see as the conflict in the Middle East. All the Arab nations that hate Israel descend from the same man that Israel descends from. Now think about that. Your hastiness, your carelessness with the seeds that God has given you could create your worst enemies. Could create your biggest mistakes. Could create your biggest heartbreaks. Hey, well, dating the wrong guy, you know, it won't hurt me. Hey, dating long enough, it can destroy you. Well, you know, spending $10 here or there, it's not going to sink me. Getting into debt here or there, you know, I'm only charging $5 at a time. The next thing you know, your credit cards are maxed out and you're sinking in debt. You say, well, Brother Josh, I wish I was out of debt. You know what? And here's the truth of my life that I'm going to try my best to live by. I do want to get out of debt. I am in debt just like you. I have all these things, but here's the truth. I would never wrestle debt if I didn't go into it in the first place. David would have never stood before Goliath had they done what God had asked them to do when they went into Canaan. Had they driven out the inhabitants of the land, there would not have been a little boy born that grew into a great giant. There would have been no fear. You understand, there's power in the seed, isn't there? And out of Abraham, there was born an entire nation of Israel. Out of Abraham, there was born an entire Middle East. Out of Abraham, there was born all these things that happened. By one man and one woman planting a seed. Say, well, you know what? I'm going to make an impact on a future generation. Can I tell you how we did that last week? We took 40, 50 of the teenagers and we took them to the wilderness and we planted seeds. We didn't go in there with a whip and a paddle. We didn't go in there with brownies and punishment. Although when we took their cell phones, they thought we were punishing them. But we went in there and we just threw out truths from God. We started broadcasting who God was. We started saying about God's love. We started preaching about the freedom they can have in Jesus and the freedom they have to be there. So we threw seed out. And we prayed that that seed would plant in a heart, plant in a mind. And will we reach all 40 or 50? Hey, our prayer is we know God can do that. But hey, if we reach one, then we have effectively reached the next generation. If one person is influenced and believes and grabs God's word and takes off with it, then we have left a legacy for generations to come. See, we look at our churches, and most churches across America will judge themselves by how full they are. And most churches will judge themselves by how many people respond to their invitation. They will judge every message and every word they say by the response that they see. They look on the outer appearance, and God says, no, we need to look on the heart. And to me, hey, in a church that's crowded, in a church that's full, in a church like this, where kids are crowded in rooms and stuff like that, where we have all these opportunities, my prayer is today that we don't reach every soul, but maybe there's one here that we can set a fire in their heart, that we can plant a seed and say, hey, God can bring you through everything, God can do all things, that they'll rise up and become the man of God they're supposed to be, the husband they're supposed to be, the father they're supposed to be, the wife they're supposed to be. All we pray for is that God gives us one, because we realize that from one apple can come an entire forest, from one seed. And God said, here's how I'm going to set creation in motion. I'm going to speak it all into existence, and then from then on, it will create for itself. It will reproduce after its own kind. It's no accident that cows have cows and horses have horses. It's no accident that when you plant a plant, you know, a pig doesn't pop out of the ground. No, we reproduce after our own kind. Which brings me to point number two. While everything starts as a seed is totally, totally useless until it is planted. It is totally useless until you do something with it. See, today God's going to inspire some of you. Today God's going to call some of you. Today God's going to say, this is home. This is where I want you to serve. And this is where I want you to go. And God's going to plant a seed in your life. And He's going to give you that ability. And some of you next week are going to wake up after God said, this is where I need you. And you're going to stay home or you're going to go somewhere else. And what's happened is you've taken the seed that God has given you, planted it somewhere else. Now listen, I'm not saying you're supposed to be here. This church isn't for everybody. We're not foolish enough to believe that. But we do believe that, hey, some of you, this is the lifeline that God has given you to refuel you every time you need refuel. This is the place that God has given you to feel loved. And this is the place that God has given you to belong. And when you do not walk through those doors, you take the seed that God has given you that can grow into the happiness you need. And you put it on the shelf. You know what? Last Mother's Day, me and Lincoln created a plant for my wife. I don't even remember what it was called. But it's one of those fragile plants. I was more interested in the pot that had was going to hold the plant. You know, we were putting Lincoln's teeth on it. And we were saying, you know, and all these other things, trying to be cute. Which, by the way, man, you know, guys, if your wife ever gives you something with your kid's handprint on it, you know, thank God for that. That took hours. Maybe not for her. But if you've ever done it, it is kind of insane to try to get a five-month-old to hold his feet still enough that you can stick it on a pot and make it look like a butterfly. Mine kind of looks like a butterfly that's went through a blender. You know? And, and the thing is we got this plant. You know what? I had great intentions for this plant. I bought the soil that was made just for it. Fertilizer and the food that was made just for it. And I was looking at it just the other day, and my wife, she does what she's supposed to. Two ice cubes every day. And I was walking by it, and I was looking at it, and it's not pretty. There's no buds, there's nothing. There's actually just two brown poles sticking out of the thing. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder why that thing didn't grow. I wonder why that thing hasn't bloomed and become, because it's supposed to become this big, beautiful plant. And it's still just two little sticks sticking out of the ground. And a few thoughts hit me as I was going into my garage. The first was inspired by the bag of the fertilizer and food that we have for this plant that's still sitting in the bag in my garage. I realized, well, there's number one reason, because we didn't feed it. You know, we didn't. And then the number two reason, I was looking it up, I was reading on the back, and it says, after so long, you will need to repot your plant because its roots will outgrow its current situation. I said, well, there's reason number two. It's in the same pot it was to begin with, therefore it's no bigger than the day it started. I understand this. Some of you have decided you're going to trust God. Some of you have decided to give your heart to Him. Some of you say, you know what, the love that God asked for me, that's the love I want, that's the love I want to experience. And the greatest day of your life, the greatest day that you experienced joy was the day you gave your heart to Jesus. That was the most spiritually satisfying day that you've ever experienced. And I'm going to tell you this, that needs to change. We no longer need to have testimonies that say, I'll never forget the day that I got saved. I'll never forget that feeling. And it needs to change and it needs to become. That feeling has grown. It's not better. My salvation isn't what just gets me out of hell. My salvation is what keeps me every day in the hand of God. That keeps me from destruction. That keeps me on the right path. It is that day that made everything else make sense. It needs to grow. In other words, you need to be replanted. He says He lifted you out of the miry clay and He established your going. In other words, you need to change direction. In other words, you need to plant the seeds that God has given you. Some of you are beautiful singers and yet we've never heard you sing. Some of you are the best spoken persons we've ever encountered, yet we've never heard you give a testimony. Some of you have gifts that God has given you and you know it. It's not arrogance. It's confidence and you know it. And yet you sit back and you wait on somebody to ask you to do it. You wait on somebody to find it. You wait on somebody to look at you. You wait on somebody to give you an opportunity to grow. And the truth is this, it will not grow. It will not happen. We tell people all the time, don't wait for us to come to you. There's too many of you. You come to us. If God puts it on your heart, let us know what gift you have. And then let God nurture that and grow it. You know, the truth is this. You've got to plant the seeds there. You've got to say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 10 says this. Don't despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. To see the plumb line of Zerubbabel's head. The seven lamps representing the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. They're looking at it and they're like, okay, you know what? How many of you know what a plumb line is? Anybody? I had no clue until we built this building. You know, somebody said a plumb line, and I'm thinking the fruit. I don't even know if it is a fruit, but the thing it eats, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, plums. That's weird, plumb line. No, and I've learned this. All you construction guys, be proud. A plumb line is when you need to make the same line straight here and up here. The way to know that you're in line, the way that you know that you are where you need to be. If there's a spot on the ground and it says build here, then you've got to start here. Then you hold this plumb line from a string or whatever, and when it perfectly balances over the spot of the beginning, you know you're right where you need to be. Alright? Now, thank God that the way I learned that was not with an actual plumb line. They make them in lasers now, right? James Perry comes in with his lasers, sticks on the ground, shoots it up. Okay, that's ready to be. Good. Because I held a plumb line, and I tried to get it to stop. And if you ever had to hold the plumb line, it's almost a curse more than a blessing. Because the thing never stops moving, it seems. And then you're like, is my hand shaking? And then because you're thinking about your hand shaking, it starts shaking. Then your arm gets tired, and you're trying to pop it up with your chin, or whatever you can get. You're doing everything you can to do it. And hey, look, they were starting something. They were starting a work, and guess what? It began. It didn't begin with a huge building or a huge wall being around. It began with finding the spot of beginning. It began with finding the place that it needed to start. And they were discouraged, like some of you are today. Because you thought that the moment you got saved, everything would work out. You thought that the moment your husband got saved, that your marriage would fix. You thought that the moment that your teenager or your child became old enough to understand Jesus, that they would magically transform into some obedient, never rebellious person. And because that immediate response didn't happen, you looked at it and said it was worthless. God says, don't despise the small things. Don't look at the small things, small beginnings, and think that just because it's not where you want it to be, that it's not right. No, look at the small beginnings and plant the seed and trust that God will give the increase. Trust that God's in control. Trust that God's going to do something wonderful through it. Trust that God has a plan. So here's the thing that I've learned. When I have a need in my life, I need to plant a seed more than anything else. See, when a farmer wakes up and he has a land that looks kind of barren, he doesn't walk out to the land and start worrying and saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? No, he doesn't even go out there and start complaining. He doesn't say, man, this field is terrible looking. You know what? The farmer doesn't even get on his knees and pray. You know what the farmer does when he has a field that's not bearing anything? You know what he does? He goes to the garden. He goes to that field. He goes to the storehouse. He buys some seed. And he walks out to that field and he just begins sowing seed. There's no worrying. There's no complaining. There's no time of stopping and staring and wishing. No, there's no time to even get on a knee. He's built. He knows that something's going to grow in that field. He's going to have to plant. Right. And I'm going to tell you this, church. Some of you have needs in your life that you're sitting there and you're complaining about because it's not being fulfilled. Well, I wish that, hey, stop. Some of you have needs in your life that you're looking at the field of life and you're saying, why isn't this working out for me? God must hate me. Stop. Some of you are begging God to do things in your life. And God's sitting on his throne saying, hey, wait a minute. You're waiting on me? You're waiting on me? No, I promised over 7,000 things I would do if you were planting a seed. I promise that, hey, you can trust in me with all your heart. If you give me your heart, I'll lead every step. I promise that. I promise that if you give, it will be given back to you. I promise those things. And you say you're waiting on me. No, 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 no. God's waiting on you today. And God's saying, stop praying for the seeds. And start planting the seeds. And then pray for the growth. That's what you need. See, it goes back into that what you sow, you will reap, right? You know, I was one of the teenagers that I went out into the world and I sold my wild oats and then I would go to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. You know, it's like, this is who I am. I'm going to be the alcoholic. I'm going to be the drunk. I'm going to be the user. And then I go back and be like, God bless me. You know, it's kind of like somebody sneezing and we say, bless you. I've always wondered why. And I know some of you, y'all can tell me why, all right? I like the story. But when somebody sneezes and you're saying, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. It's kind of like, what are you blessing? The virus? You know, did he just make me sneeze? No, I want you to pray so the virus goes away. You know what? Wouldn't it be weird, though, if people walk by you and you're not sneezing and they're like, well, bless you. Dude, it said bless you. That's what I want the blessing on. I want to be healthy. I don't want your blessing the snot, the boogers, the nastiness. I want your blessing the good things. Now you say, Brother Josh, that's great. You see, here's the thing. God's not sitting up there and saying, ah, oh, they're living in sin. Bless them. God's sitting up there saying, get away from that. Because if you'll get away from that, there's so much more blessing than that can bring. And you're sitting there and you're saying, oh God, I want a husband. And God's sitting there saying, no, I want you to know your value. Oh God, I want friends. And God's saying, then why? Why don't you get invited? Do you say no? There's 1,000 people that say, you know what, I just want to meet new people. Well, why don't you come to this? Well, I don't know. You know what? I understand. If we're all honest, we do that. Every one of us. We'll have a need in our life and we'll start begging God for the need and God saying, hey, you've got the seed, start planting it. You've got the seed in your hands, start planting it. If God shows you a need, if there is a desire on your heart, he says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will what? Do you believe that? Let's say that again. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will what? But don't you have to do something first? Don't you have to say, okay, God, you are my God, I trust you. God, you are my God, and I will live in your word. God, you are my God, I'm going to do this. God, you said that if I would do this, then you would bless me. So here it is. I'm scared of death. I'm planting a seed. You know what planting a seed is? You know why God talks about planting seeds? Because every time you let go of your possessions, every time you let go of what you own, every time you let go of what it is that's of you that you think you've worked hard for and that you've created and what you've made, every time you bury it in the ground of your heart and you cover it with soil and you say, God, I'm going to trust you with this. God looks at it as an attitude of faith. And the Bible says that God rewards those that diligently seek him. Apollos and Paul, they wrote this masterful verse. Paul wrote it and he said this. Apollos planted the seed. I watered the seed. But God always gives the increase. God said the fields are wide and the harvest of the laborers are few. Everything you want in your life, everything you need in your life is out there for you, but you have to plant the seed to see the growth. You do not plant it, just like our little poinsettia or whatever it is. It will sit in the dormant state that it's in. It will sit and never grow. It will sit and never bear fruit. It will sit and be broken. And eventually, it will die. It will die if it's not taken care of. Can I give you a verse that God gave me when we started our church and I was terrified? Job chapter number 8. Verse number 7. Read this with me. And though you started with little, you will end with much. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but how many of you have that testimony of, you know what, I'm just an average Joe. When the world looks at me, I don't look better than most. They look at my finances, I kind of blend in. You won't see me on Forbes magazine. Anybody else like that? You won't see me on the cover of People or Time. Matter of fact, the only way I'm going to make the news is if I have a moral failure. I realize that. The only way that we would become famous is to totally do something destructive because of what we did. Hey, if today I went out there and, man, I got caught up in a sin or something, I would be famous in this area within minutes. But go out there and change somebody's life and nobody cares. And go out there and do something like this and nobody else notices, nobody else recognizes, nobody else looks at, and you know what? That that's fine, because God sees it, and God is the rewarder. God is the one that gives back. Hey, the Bible says when you even give your tithe, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand just did. You know why? Because Jesus says it this way. God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken, pressed down, and restored. God will pour it back into your life. Hey, if I want love, I give love. If I want kindness, I plant kindness. If I want somebody to trust me, I trust them. Instead of saying, well, when they do this, then I will. We say, God, no, I'm going to plant the seed here. And I'm going to plant the seed here. And I'm going to believe that you are God. And everything that I have was yours to begin with anyway. So why do I view it as mine? You want some awesome verses? And generosity, read your Proverbs. Oh my goodness. The Bible says when somebody has a need and they come and they represent it to you and you have the ability to give it to them, don't wait till tomorrow. You give it to them then and guarantee God will restore seven times back. And I look at that and I'm like, okay, you ever been there? God, I don't know why you're asking me to give this because you know my needs. Ever been there? Now here, we're treading on thin ground because we might be talking finances here, and I'm not throwing it down your face. There's been times in my life that God says, give them a 20. And I'm saying, God, the 20 is all I got. You know what's awesome? It's His voice always says, it's not all I got. But if the 20 is all you got, you want to hang on to it, it's all you'll have. Listen to this. If the 20 is all you got, you want to hang on to it, it's all you'll ever have. But if you will plant that seed, if you'll give it to me, then I'll show you the tree that can grow out of that. Hey, matter of fact, I created the tree that was cut down to print that paper. And it wasn't the only tree I counted. I got cattle on 1,000 mules. I've got a kingdom that I built by my mouth, and then there's a kingdom that I'm building with my hands. Which one do you want more? You've seen what I can do with my words. Just think about what I can do with my hands. Think about that. Now God has a third, and He has a promise for you. It's a place for you to go. But you're going to have to say, I'm willing to plant a seed. And I'll close with this story. Jesus referred to this when He was explaining His own death to His disciples. Look with me real quick in a scripture and close with this very last thing. John chapter 12, verse 24 says this. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. That's how He described His own death. Now see, I was talking to Brother James this week, and he's a construction worker. For the past 3 weeks, because of weather, they've been out of work. You know what? James hasn't sat there and said, woe is me. He's bid jobs. He planted seeds. And he said, I'm praying that God will bring it back to me. You know what he said? I'm praying that God will bring it back to me. In other words, I planted a seed, though God really is what I want. Jesus said this. He looked at your same condition and He looked at mine. God looked at the travail of the world and He said, oh my goodness, the sacrifice of bulls and goats is not going to cover this. He looked at the mistakes that Josh Moore would make throughout his entire life from 1984 to 2015. And He said, hey, that kid's going to make a lot of mistakes, and there ain't enough goats in the world to cover him. And He looked at you and He said, we've got to do something. And instead of standing there and saying, oh my goodness, there is no way, He sent His Son, and His Son said, I'm going to be like a kernel of corn. I'm going to be the seed that's going to hang on a cross, and I'm going to die. And God's going to plant that seed in the ground. And 3 days later, that seed sprouted. And ever since that seed has sprouted, there's been a new world, a new covenant, a new life given to anybody that wants. And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I want you to understand it. He didn't just leave that seed. That seed, once it came back to life, became a fruitful seed, a fruitful bearing plant. And He says, hey, if you will ask, you will receive. God will plant it in your heart. And that seed gets planted every single time somebody says, God, I believe that you are God, that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, that you rose again, and I'm asking you to save me. He plants that seed, the offspring of the seed that was planted on that cross. And every time He does, the Bible says, the old man passes away, the new man comes to life. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm so glad that the old man's dead.
Amen.
I'd love to have a shirt that says, dead man walking. The Walking Dead, that wasn't something they came up with. Zombie, that ain't something they're... No, when Jesus came back from the grave, the Bible said the saints rose with him and were seen by many. I'm going to talk about a freak out moment, a zombie revolution. It happened the day that Jesus walked out of the grave, and guess what? It will happen again the day he splits the eastern sky. The dead in Christ will rise first. He said, you're crazy. I'm not going to be near as crazy as you if you don't believe that. You say, why? It's going to drive you crazy when you see grandma. Woo! She ain't in the grave anymore. Can I tell you something? Can I say this? Some of you need that seed planted in your heart. Some of you think you're living, you've never lived one day. You've never lived one day. You've existed. You exist until the day you receive Christ. Then you start living. And why we started this church is we wanted to plant a seed. And we started with very few, and God is multiplying it to many. We started in a warehouse. We had some people visit back with us today. They didn't know where we went after the warehouse, and here they are. You know what he said to me this morning? And God is really blessed you. You know what he did? He kept his promise. He said, give me something small and I'll make it. Give me your faith and I'll grow it. And when your patience is tried and your faith is tested, I will grow you. And I'm going to say this right now. If this is what I am at 30, I cannot wait to see what I am at 60. If I continue to plant seeds in that pot of waters. Some of you have the seed you know. You have the needs you know. And you're freaking out because you don't know what to do. Never forget that quote. When you're in need, simply plant the seed. Simply plant the seed. Say, God, I trust you and I will follow. And if this is the way you want me to go, then I know I will not fail. Jesus in Gethsemane got on his knees and he said, God, is there another way? Is there another way for my life? Some of you have prayed that same prayer. God, there's got to be another way. Don't take my kid away. Don't take him to prison. God, don't take my husband. God, don't let this divorce happen. God, don't let me go bankrupt. God, don't let me, if there's any other way, don't let this happen. But then he said the most powerful thing. But not my will, yours. He said, not my will, yours. In other words, God, okay, if this is where you're telling me to go, I'm going to go. It might not make sense, but I'm going to go because I know you will never, ever let me fail. And because Jesus planted that seed, he walked out of a tomb, and for centuries and millenniums, and for, hey, if we've got centuries left, and we got millenniums left, they will hate his name. They will fear his name. The very demons of hell hear his name and tremble. And the Bible says that at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess, he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Why? He planted a seed, and God raised that seed into something great. And today, you need to do the same. Now you're going to go try it.